This town needs an enema.
Wait till they get a load of me.
I'm a mushroom cloud laying motherfucker, motherfucker.
You can't cuss on the air.
Fuck you.
All right.
Who wants something?
How'd you get past my security downstairs?
I'm gonna float like a butterfly and sting like a bee.
You insane?
I'm a madman!
There was this man, and he liked to say the F word a lot. F this and F that. And every time he said the F word, people, for some reason, well, they cheered.
Hey, this is Dave from Iconoclast, and you're listening to The Casey Ferguson Show.
Listening to the Casey Ferguson Show. As you might expect, I am Casey Ferguson. Something Ugly kicking off the show there with their tune of the same name. I gotta confess, my dear listeners, I am fucking hot tonight. I'm hotter than a hijacker's pistol. hotter than a fresh fucked fox in a forest fire. It seems everyone is doing something to piss me off. So, I'm gonna let a couple people have it on this episode. Right off the hop, I'd like to send out a quick fuck you to YouTube, CD Baby, IOTA, Universal Music Group, and InGrooves. For those of you who have been paying attention, you've probably noticed that episode 3 of the Casey Ferguson Show has been taken down a couple of times on YouTube and then reinstated. Well, that's because I'm fighting with these fucking jerk-offs over alleged copyright infringement claims. Basically, what went on is these fucking idiots tell me I don't have permission to play the bands that I'm playing on my show. I disputed that claim and said, yes, I do. I have permission from every single band or artist that I play on my show on all episodes. They disputed my dispute and said, prove it. So I went through my emails, I went through my Facebook, I went through my records, and proved that I had permission from every artist that I play on this show. How do you like me now, you greedy cocksuckers? I guess you don't really understand the concept of promoting a band since you're in the music business. All you give a fuck about is your percentage. Well, how about you take 100% of my dick in your mouth? See, it's funny, folks, because most of the bands that I'm playing on this show are friends of mine, people that I've toured with or played shows with over the years. And in cases where they weren't, they had to send me the tracks to my email address. I don't have permission, you dumb fucks. Stay tuned, folks. Many more fuck yous coming up. I've got some great music to play for you as well. An interview with comedian Wafik Nesrella. And all the beer drinking and hell raising you can handle. Time to let the thunder roll. This is Lake Effect Mud on the Casey Ferguson Show.
City's looking like a ghost town on a moonless summer night. There's raindrops on the windshield, there's a storm moving on. He's heading back from somewhere that he never should have been. And the thunder rolls. When the thunder rolls. Bring it.
This is Rodney Riott, the drummer from With Blood Drenched Hands, the SOHC crew, and you're listening to The Casey Ferguson Show.
Millisecond. Just when you thought it was safe to party at a cabin in the woods where everyone is routinely killed. Saturday the 14th, Jason sleeps in. Oh, dude, I'm so hungover. See, I told you nothing would happen. It's Saturday the 14th, and the worst thing that happened is I got a splitting headache.
Hey, where's Kenny? Oh my god, you killed.
Give me some sugar, Kenny.
Evil never rests. Well, sometimes it does, and it doesn't hear the alarm.
It's exhaustion, Mr. Voorhees. You're in your 50s now. You need to slow down. Maybe find a new hobby.
I'm sorry, sir. We don't have any sailboats in a bottle.
Hey there, mister. Would you like to play a game of checkers? King me.
In my medical opinion, I believe that to be asthma.
No rest for the wicked. Well, maybe a little rest wouldn't hurt. Saturday the 14th, Jason sleeps in.
Jason sleeps in.
just a bachelor looking for a partner, someone who knows how to ride without even falling off. Gotta be compatible, take me to my limits, girl. When I bring you on, I promise that you won't wanna get off. If you're horny, let's do it. Ride it, my pony. My saddle's waiting. Come and jump on it. If you're horny, let's do it. Ride it, my pony. My saddle's waiting. Come and jump on it. Sitting here falsing, peeping your stilo. Just once if I had the chance, the things I would do to you. You and your body, every single portion, send you your heels up and down your spine. The juice is flowing down your vine. If you're horny, let's do it. Ride it, my pony. My saddle's waiting. Come and jump on it. If you're horny, let's do it. Ride it, my pony. My saddle's waiting. Come and jump on it. Until we reach the stream, you'll be on my jockey team. Yeah. If you're horny, let's do it. Ride it, my pony. My saddle's waiting. Come and jump on it. If you're horny, let's do it. Ride it, my pony. My saddle's waiting. Come and jump on it. 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 Jump on it.
Part talk show, part rock show. You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show. That was Nathan Down with Pony. Before that, Raven's Code in there with My Lies. And kicking off that set was Lake Effect Mud with Thunder Rolls. As I mentioned at the start of the show, a lot of things are pissing me off lately. Here's one of the many. This one has been all over the news. It's been in the papers. It was all over my Facebook. A local gay couple in my hometown of Kingston, Ontario, received a letter that was threatening violence if they didn't move out of town. The senders claim to be a small but dedicated group devoted to removing the scourge of homosexuality in our city, with a base, head office in Deep South, and contacts in the police department. So what, you're a hillbilly t-ball team with a treehouse? I don't know if you knuckle-dragging cousin fuckers realize this, but just because someone comes and lets you out of your cell after mommy and daddy bail you out of jail for beating your wife, that doesn't make them your friend. That makes them a public servant. And instead of devoting yourself to removing the scourge of homosexuality in our city, why don't you gravy-sweating chicken lickers devote yourself to something a little more practical, like getting a high school diploma or a fucking job? And of course, an attack on the gays wouldn't be an attack on the gays without bringing Jesus into this. Now, I was raised Catholic, and it's been a while, so correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't the Bible say love thy neighbor, not love thy neighbor as long as they're not gay? Get this. These spineless Bible-thumping cowards can't even get guns. They're saying they're going to use BB guns.
You've got contacts in the police. You've got this big base down south, yet you don't have access to firearms. Anybody else smell bullshit?
Hell, it's probably just a couple of fucking asshole kids from the neighborhood fucking around.
But if one good thing came out of this whole sick scenario, it's that Kingston has really bonded together and shown their support for the gay community. So, right on Limestone City. Kingstonians, join me for a celebratory headbanging. This is Mortal Fear with Inject the Fear on the Casey Ferguson Show.
Inject, 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 inject.
John Bowen from Rue Morgue Magazine.
And I'm Casey Ferguson.
Welcome to the Chop Shop.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
This time in the Chop Shop, John and I discussed Return of the Living Dead. Listen up.
The original, I really liked. I didn't know until I interviewed Dan O'Bannon. In fact, he was the first sort of semi-famous person I ever interviewed for Rue Morgue. I did not know that he had sort of been commissioned to write that for Toby Hooper to direct, and then Hooper bowed out to do Life Force, which O'Bannon also wrote. So it wound up in O'Bannon's hands to direct as well, and he was saying, you know, his only real regret about it was that he had tailored it to Hooper's strengths and not his own. And by the time he got the offer to direct it, that, you know, he couldn't back out and say, well, I want to go and rewrite it to my own strengths, because then he probably would have been tossed off the project as well. I had no idea about that till I spoke to him, and he thought I knew about it and thought I was trying to fuck with him and trick him into giving me some answers that I wanted and that he didn't want to give. But once we got that straightened out, it was interesting to hear about that, because I had no idea about it. Yeah, that was one of those first real sort of postmodern horror films, these things that were a bit satirical, you know, fantastically gory and everything, but were also just kind of poked in the ribs and nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And I remember seeing that in theaters, and it was just such a complete and utter departure. Yeah, in the old Highland Theater, which is now Stages, well, which has been Stages forever here in Kingston, but it was probably one of the last films I ever saw in there, and my jaw was just kind of in my lap at the level of violence in it for something that you were going to see in a Canadian movie theater.
Well, and I mean that iconic trash dance scene by Linnea Quigley.
Yeah, exactly. That may very well have been the first time I ever saw Linnea Quigley. She'd certainly been making movies before that, but yeah. Yeah, that was, to the best of my recollection, was the first time I'd ever seen her and everything. And so many things in that film I just was not expecting at all.
Well, and definitely one of the most popular soundtracks to a horror film, with The Cramps and
SOL, yeah. Yeah,
I think that was pretty groundbreaking.
Yeah, it really was. And that, you know, and then that became the norm for so long. It was just kind of fucking nauseating, really. But yeah, that really was, and it was a very clever ploy, I think, especially for a really low budget movie. Somebody hit on the idea, here's a way we can make a whole bunch more money off this. And at the time, that wasn't such an annoying concept, really. And most of the music in that, not all of it, but most of the music in that film is really, really good.
Oh, that 45 Grave tune.
Yeah. And Cramps, as you say, and everything like that. You really can't go wrong with it. And it really hadn't, well, at least in a really low budget movie like that, it hadn't been done before. I think, you know, this was around the time when you had a lot of those big mainstream 80s classics that would have, you know, Huey Lewis and whatnot on the soundtrack. But here's this low-budget horror movie, so they get a bunch of low-budget independent bands to donate songs for the soundtrack, and it really worked for them.
Is your weight getting you down? Do you need to lose a few pounds? Have you tried other diets and can't get the results you're looking for? Try the brand new Divorce Diet. Don't put down the fork. Put down the pen. Listen to these amazing testimonials.
I lost 170 pounds when I got rid of that cheating husband of mine.
I lost 280 pounds on the divorce diet. Of course, she's a big woman.
I lost a half ton on the divorce diet if you count the truck.
You'd be amazed at how great you feel when you drop that dead weight.
Oh my God, I feel amazing.
You'll have more energy, more fun, and your coworkers and friends will talk to you again. And if you order now, we'll throw in a free handgun. Call the number below and order now.
You pack your things and said you're leaving. It really sucks, I guess there's reasons that I don't understand, but somehow you must have thought of them for a while. Well, I think that it's so hard to swallow when you say these things, and I talk a lot, and I'm sending out this message, it's for me.
Yeah,
And strolling, ramming and jamming. You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show. That was Rebmatic with From Me off of their album Ghetto Blaster. Mortal Fear in there as well with Inject the Fear.
It's Miller time.
Who might argue with a sound effect? Everybody grab your drink of choice. Definitely a Jack Daniels night for me. On three. 1, 2, 3. Ding dong, motherfucker. Ding dong! This episode's drinking catchphrase came from my guest from the last show, Mr. Jim Barber of Into Magazine, so thanks very much, Jim. A little nod to Boondock Saints there, which is always a good thing. Now that everybody's had a drink, plunker down and listen up. My guest on this episode of the Casey Ferguson Show is comedian Wafik Nasrallah. Wafik's career spans over 2 decades now. He's done a Comedy Now special, which just recently re-aired on MTV Canada. In addition to his shows in North America, he's traveled to the UK and the Dominican Republic to perform. He was assigned Yuck Yuck's comedian for a number of years, but just recently decided to split from the company. We'll talk about all these things and more. Listen up. I'm Casey Ferguson, and I'm here at the Time to Laugh Comedy Club with comedian Wafik Nasrallah, the funniest one-eyed Egyptian-Canadian on the planet. And I've known a couple. They're not as funny, though. Not nearly as funny. How was the show in Montreal last night? You were in Montreal, yeah?
It was amazing, yeah. And it was it wasn't part of the Just for Laughs Festival, but the Just for Laughs Festival was on at the same time. So just really cool to see a lot of really big names hanging around.
Did you get to catch anybody while you were up there?
I was talking to Lee Camp and Jeffrey Ross. I did see Seth Meyers, but I didn't get to talk to him at all. And there was a couple other people around. Apparently, I just missed Sarah Silverman, but she had the gala that day, so she was sort of being ushered around to do interviews and stuff.
Probably had to get back to Jimmy Kimmel.
Maybe.
She's fucking Matt Damon, so.
Is she?
Well, that was a big, they had this big sketch on the show. It was a big song. I'm fucking Matt Damon. So no strip clubs while you're in Montreal?
No, not this time, but yeah.
They got some dandies.
Yeah, they do, yes. And you're allowed to touch, so.
That's my kind of party. You've toured the UK and performed in the Dominican Republic. Do you find the touring experience different abroad?
Yeah, I do. I think, especially in the UK, they're very big with word of mouth. And if you do a really, really good show, that could lead to other shows. Whereas here, they don't give a shit. Like, if you kill it one weekend, you might be sitting at home for 3 months before you get another gig. You never know who's in the audience either. Like, that was the thing about the UK that got me my second show ever there. I performed and I'd There was a couple of agents that were there, and they booked me like instantly on the spot. They're like, "We have this and this and this, and like if you could stay for 3 months, we'll have a big tour out in the East Coast for you." And I'm like, "Wow!" Like, and it was just that quick. Like, you like, and they appreciate talent. Whereas here is it's like there's certain chains that you can work for that, regardless of how good or bad you do, you'll always be guaranteed work. And I think in Europe, it's more about the talent, and they actually treat the talent well. Like, you know, they know that you're what drives their business, so they reward you properly, they work you properly, and they make sure that you're happy.
Yeah, because your tour got extended a couple weeks when you were over there, right?
Yeah, it was only supposed to be 2 weeks, and then I turned enough heads and won enough competitions that all of a sudden I was there for 9 weeks, and it was great. It was a really, really good experience. It's the kind of thing I don't think that happens here. You know, they book you, and then you do what you do, and they might book you back quicker if you're great, but it's different. Like, they really, like, they know when they see a rare commodity and they jump on it.
Well, I certainly wish there was a little bit more of that. I mean, like I said, the Canadian music scene is very much the same thing. It's just like, yeah, I mean, you could be the next Van Halen, you could be AC/DC, it doesn't matter. It's kind of like, well, I don't know, we'll get a hold of you maybe.
My accounting teacher was the one that taught me the biggest difference between the world market and the Canadian market, and he was telling me that like if you were an explorer and you were like, you know, I think there's gold in that mountain, and you go to an American investor, they'd be like, oh, you think there's gold there? They'll give you all the money you need, all the equipment you need, go find it. It was Canadian investors like, okay, go find the gold, come back and talk to us.
You filmed a Comedy Now special a few years ago. What do you remember most about that particular show?
Honestly, the heat. It was in the middle of the summer, and the air conditioning in the theater knocked out, and I was on third, and I had to reshoot part of this. Like, the way they do it is they normally have only two comedians go on, but they had the three this night, and I was the last one. And the first one did really, really well, but the second one was up and down, so they had to re-record part of it. So after like 2.5 hours in this really, really hot theater, I go on. And it had disaster written all over it, but I just went up with such a positive vibe because I was so excited to be there that it worked. I pulled it off. I was really, really happy with the way the show came out. And to be honest, like, it was one of the best connections with an audience I ever made. Like, we were joking during the commercial breaks and stuff, and it was a really fun experience. And it's something that I don't think in a regular theater it would have worked, but like when you put TV cameras up, I think people just sort of come around a bit better.
Well, I mean, I watched it on YouTube the other night myself, and it clearly looked like you were having a good time, and I think that comes off to the audience as well.
Yeah, it was, like I said, a really cool connection for sure.
So who makes you laugh these days?
Dave Chappelle and my little daughter.
Kids are fucking hilarious.
They are. My daughter is really, really funny, and every time she makes me laugh, she's like, "You're the funny one, Daddy," but she makes me laugh a lot.
You must have a good heckler story.
Oh, okay. All right. You want a great heckler story? This happened in New Waterford, Nova Scotia. I was about 5 minutes into the show. Now, you're going to have to excuse the language on this one. There's some people here. I was 5 minutes into the show, and this one woman just wouldn't stop, and everybody knew that she's a town angry lesbian. They know that. But I didn't. So, and as we were talking, I realized that she was just there to destroy the show. And the crowd wanted me to jump on her, but I wouldn't. Like, I like to give people a chance to prove themselves stupid before I jump on them. And she, and the crowd's like, "Do it, man, just jump on her." And I said, "I can't, man, I can't. She's just being a complete cunt." And they lost it.
Oh, no.
The crowd lost it. They just laughed their ass off. And the best part about it, at the end of the night, I'm standing, and I see this one really old lady, and she's about at least 30 feet away from me, and she's got, like, she's shaking, she walks up, she gets a pint of beer, and all of a sudden her hand is super steady, and she's walking towards me, and I'm like, I know what she's gonna do. She's coming at me, and it was a thing at the beginning of the show, and I felt really bad. I never used the C word on stage, and she comes up to me, and she says, "You know, that woman was a cunt."
No shit.
That was the best heckle story because of how the crowd reacted to it, and the response at the end of the show, like an hour and a half after, and this one woman came up, and she just wanted me to realize, like, I had acknowledged that I'd use a word I don't like to use, but she backed me up.
Well, oddly enough, I play in a band called Casey Ferguson and His Four-Letter Words, and that's part of how we got our name was that I used the word one time and got thrown out of a cab. Well,
Well, with another musician friend of mine, and of course I have run into this girl since, and she was miffed that I didn't remember who she was, because of course I was drinking at the time. Mm. But yeah, I used the word to describe my bass player at the time's neighbor, whom they woke up trying to go in and fetch him because he was taking too long to grab the other case of beer. And it just snowballed from there, and eventually we were going to a hot tub party at their house, and she just lost it. You don't use that word around me. And I'm just like, you clearly don't know me very well. What trend are you sick of in stand-up comedy?
I'm really, really tired of all these new guys that are coming out, basically imitating what's hot. When Zach Galifianakis was a hot thing, they all started growing beards. But I think that happens all the time. Like when Seinfeld first came out, I remember watching an interview with Eddie Murphy, and he said that Jerry Seinfeld had this kind of influence where other people were walking out like, you ever notice? And even Eddie Murphy was doing it. But that's, I kind of, I like that, but like now, you know, people are coming out trying to sound like Anthony Jeselnik or, you know, Sarah Silverman, and they're just following what's hot at the time, and I think that really, really sucks, but like it's, I think the one thing that's kind of cool is that these people know what they're doing now. It's like, I had a learning curve, but some guys are going up and destroying shows like from day one.
Any advice to anybody who's thinking of getting into the industry?
Yeah, be yourself. Be yourself. Stay true to yourself. You can't steal that, and nobody can imitate that. And stop being somebody that's a flavor of the month because that's their thing. And if you just follow what they're doing, then you're never going to develop yourself. That's what I always say about like bands like Linkin Park. Like, as great as they came out, that first album was solid. Hybrid Theory was an amazing album, but they never developed. They never grew, and they stayed the same. And every album's been the same thing. Whereas you got bands like Faith No More, and every album sounds amazing. Every song sounds different. They really know what they're doing, and there's a growth. And if you stay true to yourself and be yourself, there will be a growth. But if you're just imitating, you can't grow.
Everybody thinks they're a comedian. So what separates the men from the boys? Just like you said, them being themselves, you figure?
Yeah, I think so. Being willing to starve for your art, too. I mean, like, there's many times that I'm sleeping on couches or in the backseat of a car and not knowing when I'm going to get another meal. Like, that's just the way it is when you're on the road. But, like, if you can slug it out, like, I think that's what separates you is, like, there's so many people that are looking for the easy road. Like, I'm going to do the stage time and be on a sitcom in a month. It's not that easy. I've been doing this for 20 years, and, you know, I'm still not where I want to be, but I'm still working towards it.
Still slugging it out, yeah. Fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
Well, you were signed to Yuck Yucks for around 20 years, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, basically since you started or shortly thereafter?
Maybe 4 months ago.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. I mean, how's the transition been?
A little harder than it should have been. I wanted to keep it under the radar and not piss off Yuck Yucks too much when I finally did leave. And the way a lot of people did it right. They had themselves booked other shows. I didn't. I made myself a really quiet summer because nobody knew I was leaving till I actually made the announcement. And I've been picking up gigs along the way. Like the fall, like I've already booked up really nice. So it could have been a really great summer, but the way I chose to do it kind of could have been better, but I'm not, no regrets at all.
Well, I hope you're going to be making another stop in Kingston on this.
Oh, for sure. This is one of my favorite cities, and Time to Laugh and Chris are like my favorite places and people to be around, for sure.
If it all ended tomorrow, what would you consider to be the highlight of your career?
Looking back and being able to say I did all that. I went to the Dominican Republic. I went to Prince William, Williams Lake, Prince Albert's, all across Canada, all over England to do comedy. Like, that's really cool. I've drank with many, many people. I've met some super famous people and been very, very happy with it.
Your epitaph will say,
saw the world better than some people see it with two eyes.
I like that. Beatles or Stones?
Beatles.
Whiskey or wine?
Whiskey.
Beer or liquor?
Beer.
De Niro or Pacino?
Shit. Pacino.
Who is your ideal dream date?
Actually, Amy Schumer, because she makes me laugh. And I think she's different than other girl comics that I've seen.
Name something you consider a mind-altering work of art. Could be an album, a movie.
Album? Angel Dust by Faith No More.
Great fucking record.
Great record.
Midlife Crisis, man.
Oh my God. The most diverse album in the music history, from like ballads to like oh my God.
I mean, Small Victory.
Metal, exactly. Funk, pop, everything. If there's one album that I'd have on like all the time, it would be that one. for sure.
I'm a big fan of The Real Thing, too. What a great record.
The Real Thing was even better because it even had Lounge, man.
Yeah, they're a wild band, man.
Yeah.
You were listening to The Casey Ferguson Show. That was from a chat I had with comedian Wafik Nasrella. I'll have more from that interview in just a little bit, but let's get back to the music for a little while. Here's Open Sky with Runaway on The Casey Ferguson Show.
At the Time to Laugh Comedy Club, and you're listening to Ferguson, some guy. I think he might be a criminal. I'm not sure. He told me that if I didn't tell you that you were listening to him, he would hunt me down and kill me like a dog. That's what he said, I swear to God.
Just have to go. My biggest mistake was when I walked.
You're listening to the Casey Ferguson Show. That was Delaney with Oh Well. Before that, Ottawa's own Open Sky with Runaway. Now, on the last episode of the Casey Ferguson Show, I talked about the Mr. Nice Cream fiasco here in Kingston, Ontario. For those of you who didn't catch the last show, here's what happened. Mr. Nice Cream is a guy who drives an ice cream truck. He plays music when he comes down the street to let people know that he's in the neighborhood so they can come out of their house and buy some ice cream. Someone with nothing better to do complained that the music was too loud. So, because of this one complaint, Kingston Bylaw gets all over this guy and tells him he's not allowed to play his music anymore. A public outrage followed, and Mr. Nice Cream sat down with the mayor to hopefully augment the bylaw. On paper, it looked like something was actually going to get done about this. And this is why I told everyone to watch the story. In my eyes, the meeting between Mayor Mark Gerritsen and Mr. Nice Cream amounted to the proverbial hill of beans. See, what our mayor did was have Mr. Nice Cream, quote-unquote, apply for a bylaw exemption. So, between the hours of 2 p.m. and 8 p.m., he's allowed to drive his ice cream truck and play his music, as long as no one complains. However, if someone complains, he's not allowed to go down that street anymore. So my question to you, my dear listeners, is, has much really changed? I mean, in my eyes, if you're going to make the guy exempt, make him fucking exempt! So the next time someone calls in and complains and says that his music is too loud, you tell them that he's exempt from the bylaw, and that he must be tolerated, much like sirens or construction. I mean, one fucking asshole complains and that's it? What the fuck happened to democracy? I fucking guarantee you, you take a vote on this, on any given street in Kingston, the four is going to outvote the against. And let me put it to you another way. If I call in and say, hey, the Limestone City Blues Festival is too loud, you gotta shut it down, I don't think it's gonna fucking happen, and not that I'd ever call in on something like this. But do you see the double standard here? But either way, Mr. Nice Cream seems happy with the outcome, so good job, I guess. Back to my chat with comedian Wafik Nasrallah. Time for a little word association. All right, so word association. Just give me a, could be a word, a sentence, your thoughts on the people that I named.
Sure.
First off, got to go there, Richard Pryor.
Genius. The guy that invented comedy.
Chris Farley.
Underappreciated, I think.
I concur.
Super, super funny, and nobody could do a character like he did. Like, he nailed every character he ever did.
Well, and that physical brand of comedy, right?
And so big that you wouldn't expect him to be slapstick, but he did. He was brilliant at it.
Andrew Dice Clay.
Flash in the Pan.
Nikki Payne.
Nick J. One of the she's actually, to me, she's a juxtaposition, because she's so completely opposite of what she is on stage. And she's so soft-spoken and shy, and then you see her filthy mouth on, like, and just, and it's so hard not to laugh when she speaks. It really is.
Let's, oh, she's great.
Yeah.
Larry the Cable Guy.
He's got his fan base. I'm not one of them.
I've had a lot of people that I've talked to, fellow comedians and stuff, that do the shows here, and they say, oh, that's kind of hacky for my taste.
I appreciate what he's done, and I like the fact that he makes people laugh. That's the idea of being a comedian. He does do that. He's not my cup of tea, but some people, Richard Pryor might not be their cup of tea.
Different strokes for different folks and all that. Bob Saget. Another guy who might not be a lot of people's cup of tea.
I actually love Bob Saget, because I think he's a genius in that he was on this show as this clean-cut guy, and when you watch his filth stand-up, and then you wonder, like, how did they connect that? You know,
money.
Yeah, I guess, but he pulled it off, and he does it really, really well.
Another Saturday Night Live guy, Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler, I actually preferred it before he took off as a movie star, and I loved him forever. But then I started, when you really watch his movies, every single movie Adam Sandler is in, it's all in his favor. He's super rich, super loaded, lucky with women. And if he was on a regular street without being Adam Sandler, the famous guy, there'd be no fucking way he'd get any of that.
Jeff Dunham.
Muppet Show.
Russell Peters.
Best friend in the world, man. I love that guy. He works me all the time, and he's always treated me well from day one when I first started. He was inspirational to me because he's a brown comic, and I know he gets shit on for being a hacky comedian, but nobody does what he does. He fills in theaters and stadiums now, and people love him. Like, and he has an appeal that's universal. You cannot take anything away from that guy.
Kingston boy, Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd. I love him. I think he's super funny. Nobody does a character quite like him. Like, every character he's ever done on Saturday Night Live was genius. And he's got a really good versatility. Like, I love the fact that he can act and be comedic. And he does both really, really well.
Yeah, he can do a straight role if need be.
Exactly, yeah, and he has.
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, very funny guy. I really wish he'd stop narrating his own theater, his own movies when the commercial comes out. Like, oh, when I did this role. Fuck off, man. You didn't do the role for any reason but that $20 million paycheck.
Ron James.
Very nice guy. I've had the pleasure of meeting him quite a few times. I don't like his stand-up necessarily, but I think he's a very, very nice guy. And I understand his appeal in Canada. And it's unfortunate that it's only in Canada.
Well, here's a pretty much strictly Canadian guy, Red Green.
Red Green, I love, man. Believe it or not, yeah, like he's like Canada's redneck, but it's funny. Like, it's funny. Like, I never thought about duct tape the way he uses it, and it's true. You can use it for everything.
Would you say he's kind of a Canadian version of Larry the Cable Guy?
Yeah, but you know what? I actually think he's got more of a universal appeal than Larry, because it's not just get her done, where he's got like a wider base.
Well, he seems a little more endearing, I think.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
He's kind of like everyone's grandfather.
Yes, yeah, kind of.
In Canada. Okay, now I got a couple, got four left, and these aren't comedians, but just certainly any comedian could weigh in on these guys. Justin Bieber.
Right place, right time, and thank you, YouTube, for making your career, eh? Because that's all it is.
Nickelback.
I'm not allowed to badmouth them. But they ruined Metallica, man.
Stephen Harper.
I liked what he did with his out of the country policies, but he really needs to focus on inside the country a little bit, and he's got to stop fucking over the country for votes, and really help the people that need the help, and stop contradicting himself. Don't say one thing to get the vote and then do the opposite once you're there, you know?
Well, he pissed me off with the whole... Canadians don't care about the arts. That fucking irked me.
No, that, yeah, because Canadians do, and that's why there were people here on a quiet Saturday night. Like, people really do want to come out and see performances, like the theaters and comedy clubs and bands. Like, that's our release these days. It's not, you know, like, I think once you get to a certain age where drugs and other things can't be the release, this is it. And I think he's way off about entertainment, for sure.
Well, I mean, escapism, I think, is important to everyone.
Yeah, definitely. And I think... And it's funny to me, because every time he wants to do something endearing to the public, he'll do something musical. He'll play the NAC and do a song, and everybody will be like, that's Stephen Harper? What the fuck?
Yeah, and then immediately they should cut to the shot of Bill Clinton playing the saxophone.
That's right, yeah.
Last one, just because he's been such a fucking lightning rod as of late, Rob Ford.
Rob Ford. Oh, man. You know, I'll be honest, I really would love to party with him. I think that would be...
I think he could get down.
A fun night, like, just to hang out with Rob Ford. Like, yeah, it's a mirror of... You know what's funny to me? Marion Barry from Washington, he had a crack problem and a cocaine problem. And everybody's like...
Oh. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
But nobody shit on him for it. Rob Ford... But the thing is, he's still there. Like, yeah, like, maybe next election we'll see what happens. But I think he'll even win the next election, because we know he's a fuck-up. He knows he's a fuck-up. He's not hiding.
He's got the fuck-up vote.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of fuck-ups.
Everybody's a fuck-up. And if you don't think you are, then don't vote for Rob Ford. Like,
well, Wafik, thanks very much for taking the time to be on the show, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me in any time.
Cheers, man. That was from a chat I had with comedian Wafik Nasrallah. For more information on Wafik or to find out where he's performing next, look up his page on Facebook. I know what you're thinking. You're going, Casey, how in the fuck are we going to look this guy up? We don't know how to spell his fucking name. Don't worry, I got you covered. Here goes. Wafik Nasrallah. Back to the music we go. This next song was sent to me via email, and it's a real quirky tune, and I wasn't sure what I thought about it at first, but when the guitar solo kicks in, I'm telling you, the tone of this fucking guitar, just absolutely great. Just listen up. This is a tune called Street Man by Tanya McCollum on The Casey Ferguson Show.
No sins, no worries, nothing left behind. Life itself is a destroyer, what is on your mind? No wish or expectations, I'm just being myself. That's my choice, that's my freedom, that's what I deserve. Street man, free man, you don't see me, but I'm here. Street man, free man. You don't want me, but I'm here. I'm street man, street man, street man. I'm a free man. I'm street man, street man. Oh, I'm free man. I have nothing but my soul. I don't count time. I have no place to go and don't give a damn. There is something in your eyes. Are they hiding lies? Who to ask? Who to blame? Where to send inquiries? Street man, free man. You don't see me, but I'm here. Street man, free man. You don't want me, but I'm here. I'm street man, street man, street man. I'm a free man. I'm street man, street man. Snow. I just live alone. Hate the sin, love the sinner. That's from a human show. People come, people go. Things turning around. I'll go with the flow. That's the best I've found. Street man, free man. You don't see me, but I'm here. Street man, free man. You don't want me, but I'm here. I am street man, street man, street man. I'm a free man. I am street man, street man. Like sad and simple truth, that part of us is you. Curling up in cardboard boxes and getting real loose. Become trapped in endless cycle, they cannot escape. That's their choice, that's their freedom, is that what they deserve? Street man, free man. You don't see me, but I'm here. Street man, free man. You don't want me, but I'm here. I am street man, street man, street man. I'm a free man. I am street man, street man. Oh, I'm free man. Street man, free man. You don't see me, but I'm here. Street man, free man. You don't want me, but I'm here. I am street man.
Hi, this is Jen Bellamy from Fab Hair Salon, and you're listening to The Casey Ferguson Show.
Listen, a picture's worth a thousand words. Well, yours is worth a million. I'm still trying
Listening to the Casey Ferguson Show. That was the Day Street Brothel with Heaven Sent. Before that, Tanya McCollum in there with Street Man. I got one last bone to pick before we get back to the music. Now, as if the Kingston Bylaw Cops weren't already on my shit list. If it wasn't enough that they busted up, I don't know how many of my fucking band practices over the years, and fucked with Mr. Nice Cream, add this one to the list. An elderly woman loses her cat. She goes to a guy I know by the name of Mo Owen Clark and says, "Can you help me out? I don't have any family that can put up posters for me and help me find my cat." Mo, being the decent lad that he is, says, "Of course I'll help you," and goes out and puts up some posters for the missing cat. Shortly thereafter, Mo gets a phone call from Kingston Bylaw saying that if he doesn't take down the posters, he could face a fine of up to $5,000. So Mo goes out to take down the posters. He gets to the first location and says, "You know what? This ain't right. I'm not taking them down." So he calls the bylaw officer and says, "Guess what? I'm not taking these posters down." The bylaw officer replies, "Well, plan on getting fined then." You see, apparently posters are only allowed to be put up on designated poster poles, even if it's for a lost cat or a community cause. Do you know how many poles we have in the downtown area for this? Two. Two fucking poster poles, one of which has been surrounded by a 6-foot fence for a while because of construction. Not to mention the fact that these poles are nowhere near where the cat was lost, so they're about as useless as tits in a bull. I swear, if they find this guy, I'm putting a benefit concert together, and we're gonna pay that fucking fine for him. And don't give me any of this, they're just doing their job bullshit. I don't want to fucking hear it. Have a fucking heart. Mo's got a meeting coming up soon with Mayor Mark Garrettson, so I implore everyone who's listening out there, send Mark a message and say that you support this kid. Mo has a group on Facebook to keep everybody updated on the subject. Just look up Kingston Community and Bylaw Awareness. Best of luck, Mo. Here's another tune from Raven's Code, and I could send this one out to so many people, but I'm not going to do it. This is called Where Were You on the Casey Ferguson Show.
And how am I was supposed to live my life when everything revolves around you, revolves around you. And what about when it becomes my turn for something fun you don't want to? No, you don't want to.
You're listening to The Casey Ferguson Show.
Where you fly beneath
silence, rise and walk with me. I hear your word, do you hear my plea? Filled with mystic knowledge of all eternity, does it make you free? Beneath the lake so cold and dark, can you hear my prayer? Share the secret of your mystery. May the truth deliver me.
Listening to the Casey Ferguson Show, a beautiful tune by Campbell and Green there. That song's called Avalon. Before that, you heard from Raven's Code with Where Were You? Now, I realize I've done a lot of ranting and raving on this episode and generally been pretty negative, and I'd like to leave you with a happy ending. A little light at the end of the tunnel, if you will. There might be a lot of bullshit going on in Kingston these days, but there's some good stuff coming up, too. I'm definitely looking forward to this one, Kingston Rib Fest and Craft Beer Show, September 6th to 8th at Memorial Center Park. It goes the Friday from 5 to 10, Saturday noon to 10, and Sunday noon to 6 p.m. I will be there eating ribs and sampling more than 50 different brands from these great Ontario craft breweries. Admission is free, and to sample beer, you must purchase a wristband for $6, which includes a complimentary souvenir sample glass, and the wristband can be used all weekend. And each 4-ounce sample only costs $1. There's also live entertainment, so come out and have a pint with me, would you? Another event not to be missed is the 3rd annual Taylor Allen Memorial Concert, It's a Matter of the Heart, on Saturday, September 7th at 560 Legion on Montreal Street. Taylor died suddenly in 2008 from ARVC, arrhythmogenic right ventricular cardiomyopathy. ARVC is one of the silent killers most responsible for sudden death in otherwise healthy kids. The concert raises money for the Taylor Allen Fund, and recently I was with Taylor's father, Ken Allen, to present the Taylor Allen Award, which in conjunction with the Limestone District School Board awards an exceptional student or students with a bursary towards post-secondary education. One of this year's winners was Kelsey Smith. I spoke with one of her teachers from Frontenac Secondary, Mr. Duncan Cowan. I'm Casey Ferguson, and I'm here with Duncan Cowan, who is a teacher at Frontenac Secondary School. You teach phys ed and geography here, correct?
That's right.
And you know the lovely young lady who has won the Taylor Allen Award. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about Miss Kelsey Smith.
Absolutely, yeah. Kelsey's one of our strongest students, one of those students that comes along sort of every 4 or 5 years that you sort of dream about getting. Early on, was really heavily involved in a variety of athletics, and as her career sort of came along, she moved more into concentrating just on rugby, which she excels at. The benefit of her stepping back from some sports is that we were able to sort of utilize some of her attributes and skills and character to our advantage from a leadership point of view within athletics, and her, you know, her role in the school definitely goes beyond athletics. She sort of embodies the culture and the spirit that's really Frontenac. And if there's someone that you want leading your school and spirit, and whether it's a spirit day or whether it's at a, you know, a football game at the national or the provincial championship, she's the one who's sort of leading the cheers and dressed up and really embodies that. So, you know, she's just a phenomenal, well-rounded student, a great academic student that's going to go off to Brock next year and be really successful. And sounds like like she's going to be a teacher in about 5 years, so that would be great for our profession too, to have someone like her coming in.
I also had the chance to briefly speak with the Taylor Allen Award winner herself. I asked Kelsey her plans for the future.
I'm going to university at Brock for Con Ed and Phys Ed.
Fantastic. Yeah. So where do you want to take that? Would you like to be a Phys Ed teacher like your friend Duncan here? Or?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking into, and then I'm maybe going into history too.
I just want to say on behalf of everyone that you've helped with all your work, thank you very much for all the work you do. Please keep up the good work, and we'll be looking for you in the future.
Okay, thank you very much.
Congratulations on the award.
Thank you.
See, there's hope out there yet. The Taylor Allen Memorial Concert takes place once again Saturday, September 7th at 560 Legion on Montreal Street in Kingston, Ontario, beginning at 6 p.m. Cost is $10, with all money going to the Limestone Learning Foundation in Taylor's name. I will be performing along with hypnotist Buzz Collins, the Friday Night Jammers, Richard Cranium, and the gal who will play us out of this episode, Tracy Morgan. Thanks for listening. Here's Tracy Morgan with Pretty Pollution. Remember, free speech means the right to shout theater in a crowded fire. Till next time, I'm Casey Ferguson, over and out.
Choking my breath again. The sweetest sound in my ear is your voice of deception whispering to my brain. Pretty pollution in my vein. Pretty pollution keep me sane. Pretty pollution knows you find me a deeper, deeper pain. Pretty pollution in my veins. Pretty pollution keep me sane. Pretty pollution knows left to regain. Pretty pollution in my veins. Pretty pollution killed Cobain. Pretty pollution knows my